Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, two other friars at St. Patrick's, and our guest from New York, Father Thomas Moore Garrett. He's a friar. He's currently in New York, and he's the Associate Executive Director of the Dominican Foundation and a classmate of mine. He's been doing a lot of research about Fatima because in 2017 is the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's appearance at Fatima, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Father Thomas Moore, for our listeners who have never heard of Fatima or know very little about it, what happened at Fatima that was so important that a century later we're still remembering those events?
Well, I think what happened at Fatima was a continuation of the manner in which our Lord begins the gospel. For example, in Mark's recounting of the gospel, how does Jesus begin his ministry? Right, he begins with the message of repent, repent and believe. The gospel is at hand. All right, and Mary is continuing that message in the 20th century by visiting with three simple-minded Portuguese children. With a series of apparitions that begin first on May 13th and continue through October 13th. Right, now, these three children are known to us by the name of Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco. All right, Lucia, who is often referred to in the English language as Lucy, became the spokesperson of Our Lady's message. Why? Because Our Lady took the two other children, Jacinta and Francisco, cousins of Lucy's, to heaven with her shortly after those apparitions. Now, the message of Fatima is essentially that of the first manner in which Christ begins the gospel, and that's Mary's call to repentance. Right? Mary visited the three children in order to deliver the message to the world that God is concerned about the wayward manner of his children and a fashion of life that is making them unfit to heaven. What is the remedy? The remedy is the same remedy that Christ himself carried throughout his ministry, and that is repentance. Now, what's new about Mary's appearance to the children is her suggestions in the manner in which to pursue that repentance. All right, so Mary emphasized three concrete ways to respond to that call to repentance in the modern world. All right, and that is one is first of all, performing acts of penance. Right, Mary asked the children to deliver a message of penance to the world. How first can we satisfy this? Well, initially the children themselves pursued various acts of penance. But later on in her life, one of the things that Lucy clarified is that, look, the first step to any act of repentance, right, to our Lord is to perform the duties of your state in life. So the first sort of pillar to responding to Our Lady's message is making sure that whatever sort of state of life one is in, right, that one meets the duties associated with that life. Why? All right, because it's through those acts that our souls are made better fit and trained for heaven in a way, in other words, being responsive to the duties associated with our state and condition in life makes us more fit to be citizens of heaven. All right, second, Our Lady emphasized the daily praying of the Rosary. All right, this was one of the probably main messages of Fatima that continue to endure today. So, in other words, what I mean is, oftentimes when people think of the apparitions of Fatima, they think about the Rosary. Why? Our Lady introduced herself to the three children during the apparitions as Our Lady of the Rosary. All right, and the title took new traction as a result of that self-reference. All right, so the daily praying of the Rosary was the second manner in which one can respond to the call toward repentance. And third is the first five Saturdays, right? Some of our listeners might be familiar with the practice of setting aside the first five Saturdays of the year for Mass, right, confession, praying of the Rosary, all right, and 15 minutes set aside for contemplating either one or a set of the mysteries of the Rosary, all right? This, too, Our Lady commended to Lucy to announce to the world. All right, so the three ways that the message of Fatima has concretized our Lord's call to repentance in the gospel is acts of penance fulfilled first by faithfully responding to the duties associated with the conditions of our state and life, right? Second is the daily rosary, right? And third is the special devotion of the first five Saturdays, which consists of Mass, confession, praying of the rosary, and setting aside 15 minutes to contemplate either one of the mysteries or the set of the mysteries as a whole.
Just to put in a little plug for St. Patrick's here, we do the Fatima devotions on Saturday, so come join us.
Yeah, a lot of churches have. I think one of the great things about revisiting the apparitions at Fatima is that some people don't know its history or why the first five Saturdays are significant, but it really comes out of Our Lady's visit to these three children in the fields of Portugal in 1917.
Can you tell us a little bit about the apparitions themselves? I mean, how did Mary appear to them? And there were two events, one in May and one later in the year. Can you tell us a little bit about those apparitions?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are very popular statues of Our Lady of Fatima. In fact, here in the studio, there are two, all right, one at each corner. Now, the statues here depict Mary dressed in white with gold-trimmed clothing, all right, with a crown on her head. All right, now, Lucy, the visionaries, have never described Mary with a crown. How does she end up with a crown? Well, in the initial enthusiasm after the Fatima apparitions, and especially following the widely witnessed miracle of October 17 that Father Boniface referred to, and that I'll come back to in a second. In the initial enthusiasm, a local sculptor produced this statue, and it became the first statue in the chapel at Fatima. Interestingly enough, though, and although Lucy didn't broadcast this fact, she found that statue to, to not be the best accurate reflection of how Our Lady appeared to her. And that's how one of our priests, a Father Thomas McGlynn, who was a sculptor and professor at Providence College, got involved with the Fatima apparitions and meeting Lucy. Now, Father Tom, like many other people here in the United States, had heard about the miracle of October 1917, and I'm sure that many of our listeners are familiar with it as well. In October of 1917, many people would come and witness the apparitions when the three children would go to the field at the appointed time on the 13th of each month to receive Our Lady's message. And on this particular October, those who were present witnessed a great miracle. Some of it describe it differently, but there are several common features. One is that the sun, right, either danced or flashed in the sky, and at certain points appeared to be spinning toward the earth. Right? Thousands of people saw this. Some of the people who were present also witnessed our Lord, Saint Joseph, and Our Lady blessing the earth. All right. For some, she appeared as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Others described her having appeared similar to the image we associated with Our Lady of Sorrows. But what's unique about this miracle, all right, now, with all apparitions of Our Lady, certain miracles are attached to them. I think what's unique about the miracle of October 1917 in Fatima is the wide number of people who witnessed it, right, including many unbelievers, all right, secular representatives of secular press were present, right? They've reported it on it as well. These articles are available. One can find them, all right, especially if you can read Portuguese, you can find them on the internet. All right, but the breadth of witnesses to this miracle set it apart, all right? And I think that's what that miracle of October 1917 made this apparition so popular, and its devotion spread quickly, right? And I think that's probably one of the things, one of the unique features that attached our brother, Father Thomas McGlynn, to its message.
Now, you mentioned a Dominican connection here, and because this is a half hour from a Dominican perspective, can you tell us about Father McGlynn's role? And especially, you mentioned that the original statue, the first statue of Fatima, wasn't as accurate as it could have been. And how did he make that, how did he make that, his image, more accurate?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, people were aware of the fact that in the enthusiasm of devotion that immediately followed, especially the October 1917 miracle at Fatima, no one had really given any thought to sitting down with the children and having them in a focused way describe for them what in fact they saw, right down to the position of Our Lady, certain features in which certain features that could be captured through a sculpture and those that could not. And Father McGlynn's interest in this apparition from the perspective of a sculptor and a priest began with his desire to do just that. All right. So one of the things Father McGlynn did is craft a sculptor based on readings he had, all right, in the 1940s in America. All right. So he's working in the early 1940s to build a sculpture that captures an image of Our Lady based on his own readings and familiarization with the apparitions themselves. All right, and he had a sponsor for that. It was a company called Regali Brothers, which still produces liturgical statues today. All right, and he went to them and talked to them about his interest in crafting this sculpture. They were willing to sponsor it and support it.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Fathers Jerome Zeiler, Father Charles Schonk, both from St. Patrick, and also Father Thomas Moore Garrett, a friar from New York, and also the Associate Executive Director of the Dominican Foundation. And he's been telling us about another Dominican, Father McGlynn, who in the 40s was working to create a more accurate portrayal of Our Lady of Fatima. So can you please continue?
Yeah, I mean, what I was saying is that Father McGlynn was developing through the 1940s a special devotion to this, at that time, a very fresh apparition. All right, so Fatima took place May through October of 1917. So in 1940s, when Father McGlynn turns his attention to this apparition, it's still very fresh in the mind of Catholics worldwide. And he saw his effort to create a statue of Our Lady, all right, that would be present in America as a way to expand Our Lady's message of repentance that she delivered to the three children in Portugal. So what he did first is, after arranging for a sponsor for the statue, he created one and then thought to himself, it would be great if I had the blessing of the one living visionary of the statue. I think I as a sculptor, based on my readings of Fatima, have captured her image as accurately as I can capture one who comes from heaven, all right, in a statue. What I'd like to do now is take it overseas and perhaps get a brief audience with Sister Lucy, who was now in a convent of Dorotheans, and have her give her blessing to the statue and approval, and then bring it back here to the United States. All right, what he was in for was a bit of a surprise. Why? Well, after arranging permission to travel to Portugal and then seeking permission of the bishop, right, to visit Sister Lucy, the statue met with a slightly different reception. Lucy was kind and polite, but was frank with him that the statue looked essentially nothing like Our Lady. The position was all wrong. All right. Sister Lucy explained to him that that Our Lady's expression was incorrect, and that the statue itself made Our Lady appear a bit older. All right. Now,
remember that Sister Lucy was a peasant girl. So I imagine she was very direct. and how she, you know.
Yeah, now fortunately for us, Father Charles, our Dominican brother has left us a record of his visits with Sister Lucy that is kind of a spiritual biography, if you will, of his interest in Fatima, his travel to Portugal, the manner in which he was able to meet Sister Lucy, and the time he spent with her. First, critiquing his statue that he brought to her from America, and then ultimately building a new one, all right, that now is situated on the facade of the Fatima shrine, Shrine Basilica in Portugal. And you can read about that in a book that Father Thomas McGlynn wrote titled Vision of Fatima. Vision of Fatima was first published in 1948, all right? So shortly, just a year after he had met with Sister Lucy. He was anxious to get it off while the memories were still fresh in his memory. But for us, was just reissued last month by Sophia Institute Press, all right? Sophia Institute Press, Vision of Fatima by Father Thomas McGlynn. You can find this through regular book outlets. An electronic version is available through Amazon. In fact, interestingly enough, in the electronic version, although I think not the case in the printed version, you can find reproductions of some of the pictures of Father Thomas McGlynn crafting the statue along with Sister Lucy. So that's Vision of Fatima by Father Thomas McGlynn, available through Sophia Press. So one of the things that is available to us through this book is a recounting of the steps that Father Thomas McGlynn took in order to respond to his disappointment with Sister Lucy's reaction to the statue.
Well, imagine how much work he had put into it. I mean, all that reading.
That's the thing. And he had, as he recounts in his book, he had felt fairly confident that he had added certain features to the statue that would capture in a better fashion the manner in which Our Lady appeared to the three children. For example, the statue that he presented, Lucy, was very smooth. All right, why? Well, he had read in several of accounts that Lucy was describing light emanating from Our Lady. In other words, light was not shining on her from an external source. It was coming from her. Now, that's almost impossible, all right, without the aid of electronics,
yeah,
to capture in a statue. But the best that Father McGlynn thought he could do is create a surface that was very smooth, all right, that would absorb the light and reflect it out in some fashion. That was a feature of the statue that he put a lot of time into crafting. And when he showed that to Lucy and explained to her why the statue was smooth and why it appeared in this way, Lucy just shook her head and said, "Yes, but Our Lady's clothing was wavy. It wasn't a flat light. It was a wavy light that emanated from her, and a flat depiction of her garments do nothing to illustrate what it was we saw in the fields during those months in May 1917. All right, so what he did from then, rather than just take his statue and leave in disappointment, he thought to himself, well, now that I've obtained permission to visit with Sister Lucy, which, by the way, was not easy, all right, one can imagine the popularity that waves upon a young girl who has just seen Our Lady, especially after thousands, all right, estimated at 70,000 people witnessing the miracle of the sun in October 1917. One can only imagine the attention that would be shown to her. So she entered a convent of Dorotheans and more or less placed herself under the care of the church. So to even visit with Sister Lucy and discuss with her the apparitions, one had to first obtain the permission of the Bishop of Lira, which included the territory of Fatima. So it wasn't easy. One could not just ring the doorbell at the Dorotheans convent and obtain an audience with Sister Lucy. All right, but rather than give up, Father McGlynn thought, well, perhaps I will request the opportunity to speak with her further and try to get a little additional insight rather than cobbling together from these third-party sources information I have on how Our Lady appeared. Perhaps I'll just go to the witness herself and work with her over a period of time and try to create a better model. And that he was able to do. He was able to get permission to pursue that. And he spent several days with Sister Lucy in the convent, all right, in a public area of the convent, meeting with her and crafting a statue that was more responsive to what it was Lucy and her two cousins saw in that field in 1917. What resulted from that was a statue that ultimately was placed on the facade of the church at the Basilica in Fatima. Interestingly enough, the model for that very statue is found in our church of St. Vincent Ferrer, which is right smack dab in the middle of Manhattan, all right, at 65th and Lexington, in a prominent place of the church. We have a shrine where that very statue of Our Lady of Fatima sits today, depicting Our Lady in the manner in which she appeared to Lucy in 1917.
So you can either see this image at the shrine itself in Fatima or at the Our Dominican Parish in New York City. So what was the outcome of this statue? What was its reception? Obviously, they put it on the shrine, but it's now a common image, isn't it?
Well, I think that it probably has not superseded the statue with the crown that, for example, sits here in our studio. Why? All right. And Father McGlynn didn't desire that it did supersede it. I mean, the benefit of the popular image, if you will, the first image of Our Lady of Fatima, is that it was an expression of the people's enthusiasm at the time. All right. They envisioned Our Lady wearing this crown. And that statue has been present in every shrine of Fatima from the earliest days. So there was an effort to replace it. Mm-hmm. However, what the Bishop of Lyra and Father McGlynn were able to work out is a prominent place of welcome for McGlynn and Lucy's statue. And that's the way he refers to it in his book, Vision of Fatima, is that this was his and Lucy's statue. All right, now serves a place of welcome to pilgrims coming to the shrine in Portugal, where you will be visiting as well.
Mm-hmm. So what does the message of Fatima mean for us today, a century later?
Well, I think the message of Fatima echoes in modern times our Lord's initial message of repentance that he first made in delivering the gospel, all right, a conditional call to repentance. I think what Fatima adds is a concrete way to live that manner of response through the gospel, all right, through acts of repentance, chiefly by being faithful to the duties associated with one's condition in life. Second, through daily rosary, which, by the way, can be the kind of thing that you pray in the car, on your way to work, on your way home from work, all right, maybe 15 minutes walking to and from wherever it is you might eat lunch, all right, five decades of the rosary. All right, and third, the first five Saturdays, all right, which consists of Mass, penance, praying the rosary, and setting aside 15 minutes of reflection on one or more of the mysteries of the rosary.
And the rosary keeps coming up in this, and it's a really powerful tool, a powerful prayer. I can attest to numerous parishioners at St. Patrick who were lukewarm in their faith, not really practicing, and they started praying the rosary, and all of a sudden their own spiritual life took off. So this message that Mary gave us at Fatima is real and powerful, and if we attempt to follow that advice that God has given us through Mary, it will really transform our own lives and bring us to greater holiness, peace, and joy.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that first, precept directive of Our Lady to do penance by living according to one's state in life, being faithful to the duties of one's state in life, because that protects us from pride, right? When we try to perform extraordinary acts of penance, the danger is that we fall into pride. But what's really difficult is just being faithful to our daily walk, and that can be the hardest penance of all. So I think that's a real wisdom there.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And our daily walk is our path to heaven, all right? It's through performing those duties associated with our way of life that we become souls that are shaped for heaven. And that's where Our Lady is calling us. I want to encourage our listeners who might be more interested in hearing this wonderful story of the Dominican Association to the Fatima message to obtain a copy of Vision of Fatima. It's widely available by Father Thomas McGlynn. And also, you can read a little bit more about this by looking at a website that we Dominicans have set up to expand this message. And that website is www.stjohnpaul.org. All right. So it's just stjohnpaul.org, stjohnpaul.org. And there you will find a little bit more of the history of Father McGlynn and the statue. Why is it associated with St. John Paul? Well, because we have a shrine in New York City at the Church of St. Vincent Ferrer that Father Boniface mentioned earlier that that includes the statue of Our Lady of Fatima. And part of that is because of the parallel between the message of Fatima and John Paul II that he himself made when he placed the bullet from the assassination attempt on his life on May 13th, 1981, all right, the beginning, the anniversary of the beginning of the Fatima apparitions, in the crown of the statue of Our Lady at the shrine where it is today. So I urge you, stjohnpaul.org is the website, and you'll find more about our message there.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf. I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio with Fathers Jerome Zeiler, Father Charles Schonk, and Father Thomas Moore. Now let us end in prayer with our ode to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,